Have you ever dreamed of a life designed by you, not for you? A life where you hold the reins of your financial future? At Become an Investor, we believe in you and your unique potential. We're a community of like-minded individuals all walking the path towards financial independence. We understand that success is crafted in the face of adversity. It's in these testing times that we discover our resilience, our determination, and our discipline. That's why we're inviting you to learn more about Become an Investor. It's not just about learning the ins and outs of real estate investing. It's about empowering you to take control of your financial future. We'll provide the tools, but the choice to act, to persevere, and to succeed is yours. Join us and start your journey towards living life by design. Together, we'll turn aspiration into reality and empowerment into success. Learn more at becomeaninvestor.com.
Okay, so we are back today with another episode of our Live Life by Design podcast brought to you by Become an Investor. And tonight we have a ghost town.
Damn, what's up, beautiful people?
Ghost town with great energy, though.
There you go.
Beautiful, powerful Daniela Magnani in the house today.
And Mr. Wicho Medina.
What's happening?
Nothing happening. I guess everybody's taking off for vacation. What is our people?
We need a vacation, man.
Yeah.
But nevertheless, we are here to continue with our commitment to proceed and stay in lane and in line with what we promised to each other in our journey in this entrepreneurship life, right? Which is
holding each other accountable.
Yep. Never ending.
Nope.
And you have a quote for us.
Yes, I do. So you always love to start with a quote. And today it's about the life. If you never know failure, you never know success. Sugar Ray Leonard.
Wow.
Yep.
Talk about someone that that knows failure and then success, right? Great boxer.
Yeah.
Champion. Right?
You're the champions. He's like us. We're the champions.
And you know what? It's interesting, you know, that quote from him and being such an icon in the boxing world. I mean, that's applicable to everything in entrepreneurship. You know, if you don't know failure, if you're not going to get knocked down a couple times, you ain't going to know what it feels like to get back up.
Yeah.
Right? So I guess there's a saying that goes on. I don't know. It doesn't matter how many times you fall. What matters is how many times you get back up.
Yeah. How fast.
How fast, right?
Yeah. That is a good thing about, you know what, on this quote, failures on this business, it's just something that's going to happen.
But yeah,
when you start learning on the learning process, you mm-hmm. also learn to get up faster because you already started. So yeah, it's just one way to see that way didn't work.
Right.
But it doesn't mean that it's not going to work. Change the plan doesn't change the goals.
Yeah. And I like how you say that, but let me ask you something. That's a mentality thing, because when somebody's starting from scratch, from new day one, and they fail right off the bat, they're not mentally prepared to understand that they must continue on, right? I mean, I think that that's something that comes up or comes on with endurance and with time, where you keep on trying and trying and trying, but you still have your eye focused on that one target.
Yeah, but if they are not prepared to fail, should they be in business?
Wow.
Right? Yeah. Think about that, because it is not just win. No. It's not just victories every day. You know, even yesterday we were talking on our coach call, and one of the students just like, damn, I'm so drained out right now.
Right.
He was, you know, talking about, is that going to be, you know, better. I feel like I don't have life anymore. I was just like, and you don't. You're building a business.
Out. Yeah.
You know, so is that going to be easier? No, I mean, yes, after you start getting rolled, right?
Yeah,
after
some you start
some, yeah, getting some traction on the business.
Yeah.
And then when you start getting some traction on the business, guess what? You need to start the next step.
Right.
So you fail again.
It's going to happen again.
It is going to happen. It can be anything. Frustration on the business can be as small as not knowing how to work on a freaking ridiculous spreadsheet. I have a hard time doing that.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I need to do it. Guess what? I need to walk away from the computer, get back, and see what I was doing wrong. Because it's not giving me, not that you don't mask the results, but you still need to understand how to do that. And I hated spreadsheets. I hated spreadsheets more than I hated marketers.
good thing Bruce stepped away here for a minute.
No, he didn't hear that. Well, he would be jumping, you know?
Yeah,
but that's the truth. It's small things, right?
Yeah. I side you with that. I hate spreadsheets myself. Not my
goodness.
Thing.
No.
No, I think that side of my brain doesn't even function. It doesn't work. It's just dead. You know, anything that has to be spreadsheets or Excel sheets, all that, all the formulas and all that stuff. No.
Dude, I was filling up the other day and I was putting commas and points and this and this and that. I was just like, why is this thing not working? Because you're not supposed to put that. You know, I didn't stupid. So I was just like, what the heck? And then I had to go back, fix it. I was just like, oh, damn it. I mean, it is just what it is, right? I mean, I need a personal assistant that it's pretty good doing all those stuff because I'm not. I am not.
Well, you know what's interesting is that, you know, in the right here, actually, in our book, Being Stuck, that's where you pulled that quote from our chapter in Life Inventory. And this particular chapter just goes on to, you know, just dig in and deep like a mirror on yourself and see if you know, how you can classify yourself, or if you even know how good you are at, for example, being adaptive, ambitious, confident, you know, creative, cooperative, dedicated, ethical, energetic, all these different things that you need, being true to yourself to identify if you could be someone's next best partner, or how can you find the next best partner for your business, you know? Analytical, if you're good at budgeting, you know, you suck, I suck, we both said we do, you know? But even though we hate doing it, we have to do it.
Yeah.
That's, you know,
true.
We cannot run our business without having the focus on the budget.
Yeah.
Because if we don't, for as much as we hate it,
there's no way.
Yeah. Then how do we even understand how much profit we're getting?
No way.
Right. So, I mean, sometimes, you know, in this business and many others, but specifically talking about real estate investing, we're going to have to do some things that we don't like doing.
Yeah.
And we have to be okay with that, I guess. Right?
Or you find a partner that's pretty good about it.
Or you find a partner that's good that you can leverage. Like
I say that, but you still need to know.
You still have to have an idea.
Idea, the base.
Yeah, like a notion of.
Yeah. Even if you don't work good on spreadsheet, you need to know your numbers.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, yeah. I'm good at keeping track of the processes on pen and paper.
Yeah.
I just suck at going at the computer and doing it there. I don't like it. I don't understand it. I've never kind of connected with it. I'm old school, just pen and paper and notes, you know, and keep track.
Yeah. I mean, if you have an idea what do you need, price, and if you're active on the business, right,
mm-hmm.
you know that if the money start, you know, the budget start going crazy, you are going to know this right away.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
That is no brain.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I mean, it doesn't matter the way you're doing.
Right.
It matters if you're doing. I mean.
Right.
You're
right.
Frustrated. That's your problem. Keep doing. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, and you have to be aware of how you're doing it. Like you said, not mattering what process you use, but you have to do it because sometimes you're using somebody else's money.
Yeah.
And they want like a report, you know, like some lenders are like, okay, here's the money. Call me back when you're done. But then you got those other lenders, private money lenders that say, hey, how'd it go this week? Well, nothing went on this week. Okay, I'll call you next week. You know, and it's like, what? You know, they want like almost a daily report of everything.
Yeah.
For me in particular, I'm very straight up with the people I use money from. And I tell them, look it, dude, unless you're a partner in the business, in the flip, in the acquisition, then you'll get an inside scoop about what's going on and how funds are getting distributed. But if not, I'm just using your money and that's pretty much it. Just wait till the end and you get your return. I can't go on. I can't add another task to my career of reporting to every single lender of what I'm doing with the money. I mean, that's, you know, I don't work well with those people. So I put them down on my list.
Yeah.
You know, so I have a list of people that private money lenders that I use their money, and the top two or three are people that just say, you know, just call me back when you're done. Because they don't give me they don't lend me the money, of course, with their terms, but they don't lend the money with tasks attached to it.
Reports.
Yeah, you know?
Yeah.
But anyways, we started off with a tangent with a topic and ended up somewhere else. And we're going to talk about open mic. Fuck it.
No, but it has everything to do with, you say that today we're going to talk about property tours.
Right.
And actually, one
thing. We just went to yours.
Yes, the what's the name? The ADU. I'm sorry.
ADU, yeah.
The ADU. But the budget. We did talk about the budget.
Right.
The budget is there. So it is something very important.
Yeah.
When you get the property, it's important to know how you're going to bring value for that, what its expenses, right? Because it doesn't matter. We are doing an ADU in one of the properties, but we are doing because it makes sense.
Right.
I'm not going to do an ADU, start, you know, a project if it doesn't make sense and it's going to go over the budget. And then on the day you sell the property, it doesn't make any profit.
Right.
On that
just
case.
Just a great story.
Yeah, just a great story. Yeah, no. I built the ADU. I lost 40, you know.
Yeah,
not
no.
Not my case.
No.
No, but when do you do it? And for us on that project, it's pretty good because of the relationships with contractors and everything. You have someone that's overlooking the project. Mm-hmm. It is, you know, helping with step by step. And the budget just went like from 80,000 to 45.
Wow.
So you cut like in a half.
Yeah.
And that is profit on the end of the day.
Of course.
If we're going to sell now, I don't know. If we're going to sell later, maybe. But you already know that the numbers are there. You already know the budget. It's working the way you're doing. So, yeah, it's very important.
Right. Budget. So you know, you already had at an $80,000 budget that you kind of thought it might take to get this ADU across the finish line. You were already going to make money with that 80 grand, right?
Yeah.
With that $80,000 budget.
Yes.
For the ADU. And then you get to a step where it's not 80, it's minus 35,000. Now you're at 45,000. So what happens to that $35,000 surplus or budget that you had accounted for? I mean, you can do so many things with that money. You know, your spread just went like from day and night.
Yeah.
Just by knowing the people you know. right?
Relationships.
Having those relationships, having those resources in place. And then them understanding that for you, it's a business and you're looking to make money in this investment, right?
Yeah.
Now, these people work well with investors because they're in for the long-term relationship. They also need the business. They want the long-term relationship. They want your next flip.
Yeah.
Right?
They're looking for one thing. That another thing that's good. I mean, you budget for the job. It's not like you're not paying the day, right?
Right.
It's not the way we're doing there. So you're paying for the project. And guess what? They get paid, but they want to get paid as fast as possible. So they get done.
Yeah.
So that is another beautiful option.
Yeah. 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 So the piecework.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. That is so cool. Yeah. So, you know, we went on that property tour that you brought us to, and our students came by. Right. And we had a bunch of people at it, and some of them had never seen behind the scenes.
Yeah, they don't know what's inside the drywall.
Yeah, they don't know what's inside, behind the drywall, inside the walls. You know, they didn't know the electrical, they didn't know the water lines, the sewer lines. They didn't know any of this. And that was interesting because they're not the only ones. There's a lot of people getting into the business, and they've never seen the materials it takes to build a house or repair a house. They might see HGTV programs and stuff, but they've never been physically present at a building site.
And they never step on the nails. Everybody was just stepping nails there.
Yeah, especially me, right? I've been in the business 30 years and I still trip over nails. No, but it was great. I mean, a lot of the students.
Open mind.
Yeah.
Today it's an open mic, and you know, the experience, it's an open mind for the students because they can see, they can have the visualization of what it's bringing valid force equity in the property. Mm-hmm. That is what you're talking over there, right? So they saw on their own eyes, and they're just like, oh, so that is how you do it.
Right.
And how much value can you bring to the property if it has the land, this, you know, this much land, what's the cost? Because, and for us, was even better because it was a garage transformed to the ADU.
Converted.
Yeah. So it's good. They saw, they're just like, whoa, it was a garage? Like,
it was
a garage. So,
yeah, they were pretty excited.
I love it.
Yeah.
They did.
And you're going to be done. How much time is that taking entirety?
The project start in April. I mean, permits and everything. It's going to be done in another 2 weeks.
So
maybe another week and a half, probably.
Two to three months.
Yes.
Tops.
2-3 months. 730 square foot.
Wow.
I mean, the biggest delay was paperwork, right?
Yeah, the permits and all that.
The permits, they send you the wrong email, then they send again, and that one, it's a pain in the butt. So,
yeah, I know.
If you guys are working or doing something like that, make sure you understand that, you know, you can have a delay on that. So if that's a flip, it's something that you need to consider and understand. We're talking about private money, you know. Yeah. Lenders, if you're using other people's money, you need to understand that sometimes you're going to have delay, and you might need to to answer what's going on to that people. Might not be on spreadsheet, but you still need to know the process.
Yeah, yeah, it is important to be in the space of understanding that things can go south.
Yeah,
you know, we're talking about the failure, right, to the success.
Yeah,
so. You know, I remember one of my properties in particular, we went in and did some work, and then the city came and stopped the work.
Oh, shoot.
And then we had to go pull a permit. The work was minor. It wasn't permit worthy. It was paint and carpet. But the city for that area was very strict because there was a school across the street, and there was a police station, like a block down the street, right? And then they had us pull a permit, and the permit took, I think, 3.5 months to be issued.
Wow.
It was.
What city was that?
Banning.
Oh. Was that the one with the windows?
Yes. And then they wanted a permit for every window. Because once we start, I mean, I said, okay, if I'm gonna pull a permit, I might as well just go, you know, just do all the work, not just paint and carpet, you know. So it was a two bathroom, a two bedroom with a Jack and Jill bathroom. I just said, okay, let's do a huge playroom. So I converted that to another bedroom, added a second bathroom, did a master with the bathroom, walk-in closet. I mean, it was just moving a couple walls here and there. And they took forever. So they wanted, I forget how many windows this house had, and we couldn't touch them for some stupid reason, right? And then they said, okay, now you can touch the windows, but you have to pay a $55 permit for every single window. And I think there was like 27 windows or something like that. And I'm like, what? Unheard of. $55 per permit, per window, 27 windows. And I'm like, no, you know. So I forget exactly what it was, but they were in the midst of restructuring.
This podcast is sponsored by Become an Investor. Here at Become an Investor, we believe in you and your unique potential. We're a community of like-minded individuals, all working a path towards financial independence. We're about empowering you to take control of your financial future. Well, how? Well, most of us got started with foreclosure leads, and you now can too. Follow the link in the show notes below, and for a limited time, you can get our foreclosure ebook. With that, we'll also send you up to 10 free leads in your local area. So get those leads. Get this book so you too can get started on your path to living life by design. Now back to the podcast.
Their departments and stuff in the city of Banning.
Oh, goodness.
And I got caught in the middle of it. And it took like 3 months. Luckily, I wasn't using anybody's money in that property. But had I chosen one of the ones that wants a daily report, they would have had a heart attack. You know, even though they're making money on every day that goes by, even though they're making money on penalties, if penalties or extensions were to be granted or requested, they'd still be nitpicking at what's happening, you know, but it was completely out of my control. Now, had I been using hard money and not accounted for those things, I probably wouldn't have made any money. I probably would just maybe lost money.
Yeah.
You know, you never know. But you have to account for all these different changes. You know, if your margins are too small and you're using expensive money, then you're going to get in trouble.
Yeah, think about that. Because some people, I didn't, but some people do flips where they are just count to make $10,000, $15,000,
mm-hmm.
you know, profit.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a big amount of money. And if you need to pay points, if you need to pay the fees, you know, the late fees for not doing the things that can destroy a deal like really quick.
It can. And you know what I found? There's a lot of investors that do that. And that's where the painted pigs come out.
Yeah.
That's where those homes that are just, they look nice on the outside, but on the inside, they're still a pig. You know, that's where these investors just come in and slap shit together, pay some inspector under their umbrella to sign it off or whatever, and then put it back up on the market. You know, they don't care who's next. They don't care if that home is going to be, that house is going to be home to a special needs individual that can't be exposed to certain things. They don't care. You know, they just come in. They know that their margins are so thin that they got to get in, get out, get paid, and do sloppy work.
Yeah. I mean, it can happen.
Oh, my God. I'm choking.
I know. Yeah, it can happen, and it can be ugly.
Yeah.
There is so much that you need to look on the details of the property.
Oh, yeah.
You know, older properties even worse. So.
Yeah, and there's some wholesalers out there that do some that, you know, do some light work on the house to make it look better. But they just do really shitty work and it costs more money to fix what they did to bring it to market worthiness, you know, or some homeowners that are just, you know, do it yourself homeowners that want to do the work themselves. And then they do the work based on their criteria, but not the market's criteria. And they spend all this money putting new floors or new carpet or new whatever they think is the next thing based on their standards. And then it costs more money to fix that and make it right than you know, they were better off not even putting money into it.
And the quality it's going to be another problem, because sometimes they want to do it and when you look, the quality of the work is just horrible. I mean, there's no finish. You look the tiles are, you know, not aligned with it from the front door to the end of the wall, and you go, it's not cool. I mean, I don't like it. So I try to do little works when I'm doing my projects because I like it.
Yeah.
You know, I like to maybe paint a wall or do some design on the walls, mm-hmm. and do little things like mm-hmm. that. I did try the electrical one time and I get shocked like a couple of times.
Oh, really? Yeah.
It was fun, but it's not my, you know, it's not my scope of practice. That's not for me. So
yeah.
I will stay with a little design on the walls.
I love construction. I've been around construction all my life. I do genuinely love construction. I'm a hands-on guy. I can build a whole house myself. Like, I can build the entire house myself with my bare hands. Not bare hands. I use gloves because I don't want my hands to get all
braces.
But I mean, I can build a house by myself with the exception of the AC and the roofing, two things I don't want to do. I don't want to learn. I don't have no interest getting involved with. But I've built homes myself with my bare hands, and I love it. But it's not something I want to be doing every day.
You know? It's a project once in a while.
Yeah. And it's just, you know, to burn some stress out, maybe get in with the guys and use some tools and stuff. I love it. But like you say, you know, that's not, you know, the contractor has to be the contractor. The investor has to be the investor.
Yeah.
Right. So open mic. What are we talking about today now?
No, besides the valor of the ADUs, I still want to touch on the property tour.
Yeah.
I remember you did one property tour at your property, the burning property, I think it was Yucaipa.
Yeah.
That was pretty cool too, because, you know, it's like they don't know what's behind the walls and they don't know what's a burning property from the inside out.
Right.
Right. And that one was pretty cool. I remember everybody was talking about the burning ceilings and that was nice too.
Yeah. I mean, so property tools are cool. You know, they're cool because everyone we've been to, everyone we've done, it's at a different phase. You know, it's either new development or it's either like water damage or fire damage homes or just your average, you know, everyday house that you buy for a flip and just need some paint and carpet. The story in it's what makes it interesting. You know, the acquisition, the numbers, the exit plan, all these different things is what makes the drywall and the sticks and the windows interesting. Not so much the materials and the processes, you know, in the business of real estate investing, at least the way we manage our business is, you know, how do we make things better for the next person coming up? You know, like for our students, how can we help them amplify their knowledge based on experiences and stories that we go through in our fix and flips or in our rehabs? You know, talking about drywall is no fun at all, you know, or talking about windows. It's part of the conversation, but what's sexy about the property tours is getting into the numbers.
Yeah.
Getting into, I acquired it this way. So acquisition, if it's creative, that could be pretty, you know, sexy, if you would say, in the conversation. If it's through an agent, then it's just through an agent and then move on. But then you
still, when you talk that, you know, through an agent, I think there was another student yesterday talking about some properties that you're looking in. I'm just like, when you talk about the agent, I want to make sure that you're talking about, you know, agent investor's friend.
Investor friendly.
I heard you
talking about that.
Yeah, because sometimes they're just like, they don't know what they're doing, and second, they get, you know, the pitfalls on the start of the business. That is when they might get in trouble. Okay, I'm an agent, investor friendly, but I'm going to bring this property, and then I want my commission.
Right.
Where is the friendly? I mean, where is the friendship there? What the heck is that?
Yeah, where's the friendly part?
Yeah, it's not invest. I mean, I don't see you talking about, hey, let's be creative. This, it's a seller financing. You know, for me, when I think about agent investor friendly, it's because they understand the creativity part of the job, the business, and they are going to bring something like that, not just I want my commission.
Right. Yeah. I mean, you got a great point because, you know, a lot of agents do say they are investor friendly.
Yeah, for their commission.
but yeah, you're right.
They're not.
They just want their commission. They are not.
That is hard when you're starting, like, you know, you are going to talk to a lot of people. You're going to start marketing on your social media, and these people are going to, you know, tag you. They're going to say, hey, that is the new one. It's excited. You know, they're on the go, go, go. So,
yeah.
I mean, there is advantage and not so much when you're working with agents if they don't bring exactly what you're looking for. Right. It just gets.
Yeah. I think working with an investor friendly agent, or finding one for that matter, has a huge learning curve.
Yeah.
It has a lot of legwork, a lot of hours, or maybe not a lot of hours, but a couple extended conversations where you have to give the agent your criteria, and then let the agent know when they should be bringing the property. You know, if it's, for example, pocket listings before they go under contract. Once they go under contract, what's friendly about it? You know, I mean, there's nothing friendly about it anymore. You know, because if the person, the way I see it, if the person signed the dotted line with an agent, he's already been persuaded to expect what the market is doing, the MLS.
Yeah.
Right? So now you have a seller with a preconceived expectations of what the MLS is doing, and there's no creativity in the MLS.
No discount.
Yeah, just list it and count the days. Pretty much it, right?
Yeah.
Which completely takes the creativity off the table, like you said. You know, so agents do that because they want to secure their position. They have that fear of you coming in and taking that lead or that contract from underneath them. We just had one of our students, we walked a property with her with an agent. So this agent sold her parents their house, and she's known them ever since she was a kid. She's known the agent ever since she was a little girl. And she got involved in real estate investing. She found us, became part of the community. And then she had a lead from that agent. And we had a conversation with the agent, and he didn't like it one bit. He didn't like it one bit because he felt attacked. He felt offended with the way we do things. But then he just reacted to the initial part of our conversation. And then his demeanor changed him when we started telling him the benefits of it. You know, I told him, well, how would you be open to the possibility of this being your next rental property? And he couldn't understand where he could fit in.
They work for commission.
They work for the commission.
There's no...
They want that instant gratification. They want that check right now.
There's nothing wrong with that.
No, absolutely not.
They need to
not.
Feed their family.
Yeah.
But it's not exactly the kind of agents that I would be working with. If there's no discount there's no possibilities, right, to do anything.
Right.
I mean, that complicate life. Like, yeah. The first step.
Yeah, no, it's not our cup of tea. But you know, it is what it is. Everybody's going to bump into them at the beginning in their career, talking to agents, talking to wholesalers,
yeah,
talking to different people involved in the business. And then doing so, it's going to take a lot of work to find the right person. But before you do that, you're going to fail a lot.
Yeah.
Back to the quote, right? You're going to fail a lot. And then it's going to feel like nothing makes sense. Like all your work, all your effort, nothing adds up. Like that student was saying, they were feeling burnt out.
Yeah.
Why? Because they're talking to agents and wholesalers.
It's a lot of work. So if you're doing this work, when you talk with it, you have agents that comes here, mm-hmm, and talk with us. And for me, the difference is just one. The legwork that you do to be an agent is going to be the same legwork that you do to be an investor.
Right.
So why you're going to put yourself in a position that you're going to get a commission instead you get, you know, get pay.
Right. A profit.
Get a profit. Yeah,
versus
get paid.
Yeah.
I mean, commission sometimes is just...
Yeah.
A dinner.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
No,
yeah.
I mean, it's seriously, it is the same legwork. I hold my license. I could
exactly
never...
It's exactly the same legwork.
It's exactly the same legwork.
If not more.
Yeah, because then you need to...
Because you got to take it across the finish line.
Yeah, and you need to be answering all those people's... You know, you need to be, you kind of need to be the middle person, right? And
from A to Z.
And sometimes things get ugly. So
yeah,
you need to transfer a message to the seller that the buyer say, and then those things doesn't go well. And then it's one getting mad with the other, and you just need to chill on the middle.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, I will just say, you go home and you go home because I'm going home.
Yeah. Yeah, no,
it is way more when you're negotiating, it's you and the person,
right?
When you're no, I don't think so.
Yeah, I mean, we can go on and on and on and on about, you know, the pros and cons of working with agents and wholesalers and all that, but I know one thing, I'm gonna stick to what I'm good at.
Yeah,
which is, you know, wearing the investor hat, finding my leads, doing my great deals and negotiations with no agents in the picture, with no wholesalers in the picture, because at the end of the day, at least for the infrastructure of my business plan, I only seek deeply discounted properties.
Yeah.
You know, I don't connect very well with that transactional stuff or those thin margins with a lot of risk. No, I've been doing it way too long to understand that my time is valuable. My knowledge is valuable. My experience is valuable. So I want to get the best out of that. I got to leverage what I already have, and be able to, find great deals, deeply discounted properties to, exponentially increase my plan.
Yeah.
Right. Will I continue to fail? Yes, sir. But they're just lessons. You know, they're learning lessons as we expand, as we grow. I mean, I know you're getting into multifamily. You're going to have a couple speed bumps here and there, and you're going to have a couple learning curves, you know, right?
Already. It's
but
just
then,
like starting something new.
Yeah, I mean. but then will you be successful? 100,000% you will. I can tell you that because I know your character.
Yeah.
I know the grit you have. I know you have you put your eye in one thing and you're like a fucking pit bull. You don't let go till you get there, you know? So I know you're going to be successful. Are you going to fail? Well, I mean, you're going to get some lessons. You're going to get some lessons along the way.
Yeah. I mean, I think I read did a couple of, you know, it's a process. Mm-hmm. Yes. It's hard.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. I mean, did I fail doing some of the homework already? Of course I did. Not yeah. perfect. I mean, I am perfect, but I'm not perfect.
Yeah.
Does it make me stronger? 100%.
Of course. 100,000%.
Can't stop it.
Yeah, no, no. You can't stop the fucking train, man. I mean, no. you get on the train and then you can't stop it. You know, people decide not to get on, to each their own, right?
There you go.
Yep. Well, I mean, we had a great night about no topics, just a bunch of open mic gibberish, I guess.
Windows and ADUs.
No, but nevertheless, here trying to deliver content and more than anything, just keep on instilling that, you know, we're consistent, we're committed to staying on board and keep delivering that content, you know. In life, not all the time you're going to be prepared to take everything across the finish line. But so as long as you're willing to put the work in to figure it out.
Get the stress.
You'll find your success.
You will. Yeah. Right? It's not easy.
It's not easy, but we can't fucking quit for sure.
No. Not a quitter.
Yeah.
Not a quitter.
So, Danny, not where can stopping. People find us?
Beautiful people, you can find us on Facebook, TikTok, Instagram, Become an Investor. And if you have any questions, you can go to info@becomeaninvestor.com. Also, go ahead and follow us on the podcast. You have the Apple Podcast and Spotify. Give us that beautiful 5-star because you deserve it. Yeah. And you're amazing. And share. Sharing is caring.
So. Share it. Yeah, yeah. Share it, people. Okay, beautiful people. Well, it was it was a bunch of fun being here tonight. And we will see you next time.